I'm standing on the corner of Bridge and Phillip Streets, right in the middle of Sydney. There are tall buildings towering over me, traffic everywhere, and I'm about to cross the road because just over there is where the story of Australian wine begins. Here at the Museum of Sydney, if we dug under the ground, we'd find the site of the first government house in New South Wales. That was the home and office of the first governor, Arthur Phillip.
I told you of the state of our crops in my letter by the supply. As you expressed a great desire of sending me some vines, I have the pleasure of telling you that we are not all at a loss, and which I'm certain will give you equal pleasure in hearing. For from the few cuttings I brought from the Rio and the Cape, we have now many thousand young vines, here and at Norfolk Island. I had two or three bunches of grapes the year before last, and last year several good bunches. At present, the old vines in my garden are loaded with very fine fruit. Governor Arthur Phillip to Joseph Banks, December 3rd, 1791.
The fact that those first grapevines did actually produce a couple of bunches of grapes proved something that was quite important to a few members of the First Fleet, and that was that it would be possible to grow wine grapes here to make wine. Here inside the Museum of Sydney, one of the first things you see as you walk in the door is some windows on the floor. So instead of looking outside of the building, we're actually looking back into the past, down under the building. And I'm talking with museum guide Toshi Swift. Toshi, if we walked around the floor space here, or we looked outside of the windows, could you tell me where the garden would have been?
Yes, the Governor Phillip's house was standing very edge of Bridge Street. And then right in front of the house, you could see all the garden and then present circular quay. And so we know they made a vegetable garden, the little farm, right in front of the Phillip's house.
If I was to try to begin to guess from old pictures and so on where those first wine grapes might have been planted here in Governor Phillip's garden, it sounds to me I'd actually have to go and stand on Bridge Street then, or just on Phillip Street a little bit further down. That doesn't sound very safe. Perhaps I might stand in here for a while in the cool a little longer and talk to you about some of those old artefacts. As well as those few vines that were planted in the governor's kitchen garden, there went on to be thousands of vines planted at different places around Sydney, including in what is now the Botanic Gardens. But most of those failed. In the 1830s, a collection was brought to the Botanic Gardens in Sydney that began to thrive, and from that, cuttings were distributed throughout the colony.
I have secured a competent quantity of all the most valuable varieties which are found cultivated in the best wine districts of France and Spain. It is my wish to place this collection of vines at the disposal of His Majesty's Government for the purpose, should it be deemed expedient, of forming an experimental garden at Sydney to prove the different qualities and propagate for general distribution those which may appear most suitable to the climate. James Busby to Viscount Goderich, January 6, 1832.
From these small beginnings, wine grapes spread to other areas of New South Wales where they were much more successful, like the Hunter Valley. And now the Australian wine industry is worth more than $3 billion in export dollars each year. Wyndham Estate Winery in 2007 bought half a dozen of its old Shiraz vines and transplanted them right here in the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney. So, again, grapevines are back close to where they were first planted. Over the next few weeks, we're going to visit some of the areas where grapevines have been much more successful than those first plantings in Sydney.